Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, January 30th, 2016. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. Former Vice President Joyce Mchuru's proposed party, People First, says it is finalizing its constitution before launching the party.
We want to come out with a brilliant constitution that everyone would try to associate with. We are concerned about the fact that if we don't produce a good constitution, people will perhaps feel let down.
Drought continues to cause havoc in Zimbabwe's rural areas.
Some cattle are dying, but thanks to trial, government in some areas has begun to deliver stock feed, which is selling at almost half the price that you find in town.
Chicken Inn Football Club says preparations are in top gear for the CAF African Champions League safari.
So far, I think we are progressing quite well with our first friendly game against Zanaco on Wednesday, where we drew 2-2, and then we have our last game on Wednesday.
And as usual, we will take a closer look at women's issues. Stay tuned. Former Vice President Joyce Mchuru's proposed party, People First, says it is finalizing its constitution before launching the party. De facto People First spokesperson Rukare Kumbo tells Studio 7 they are getting a lot of support from Zimbabweans.
Basically, we have been looking at mobilization of our people, creating structures so that people know who to report to. We have done provincial structures, we have done constituency structures, and now what structures? I think that is the level where we are. We have also been looking at the constitution of the party. We want to come out with a brilliant constitution that everyone would try to associate with. We are concerned about the fact that if we don't produce a good constitution, people will perhaps feel let down. We want to look at the issue of democracy, we want democratic participation by as many people as possible.
So who is responsible for drafting this constitution?
Well, we have ourselves done something. We met as leadership and said, look, what is the type of a constitution do you want? So we brainstormed and we agreed, no, these are things which needed to be done. Then we have taken this constitution to the provinces so that they also can have an input. So we have finished that. Now we are giving to the lawyer to make sure that the things are done properly, legally. Honestly, I know I've said time and again, this thing will be done soon. And the people are now getting impatient that we are promising us something which we are not able to. We admit there have been constraints, but I think we are now more or less reaching the end of the process.
Is there not likely to be tension, Mr. Gumbo, between your movement and other political parties? Because we have noted that some members of the ruling and opposition parties are actually coming to your meetings.
Yeah, that can happen, but there's no need really, because I think what we have done is, as I said, Blessing, we have offered a brand that is unique. So people are coming to us on their own. Can you imagine us chasing away someone who says, look, I'm attracted to your vision, I'm attracted to your brand. Then we say, no, don't come to us. It's not like that. People are totally fed up with the style of work of some of our colleagues. I don't think they were giving people room to say what they want, and they were not giving them space to engage or express their views. And we are trying to offer that. We are working very hard. Yes, there may be shortcomings here and there, but the reality of the matter is that our program is focused on the people. That is the difference between us and these colleagues of ours and the post-2014 Congress elements. They talk about that, but how they can acquire more wealth. And we are saying, no. Whatever wealth we may acquire, it has to go to the people first.
That was Rukare Kumbo, de facto People First spokesperson, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. The drought continues to ravage Zimbabwe as the El Nino weather phenomenon causes havoc in Southern Africa and other parts of the world. Local development experts say the situation is bad in Matabele North and South, some parts of the Midlands, Masvingo and Manicaland provinces. One of the development experts, Everson Ndlovu, tells 2-7, farmers have lost hundreds of livestock in all these regions.
Yes, the dry spell is still on, though we received some showers last week and early this week. The situation is so bad, but there's no crop to talk about in the southern one. I have been to Matopo in the mountains, very close to Bulawayo. That wet spell has actually encouraged farmers to plant sweet potato in Bambaina, in Gebele. They actually busy planting that right now. Some cattle are already dying, but thanks to Tufayo and government, in some areas they've begun to deliver the stock feed, which is selling almost half the price that you find in town. But the challenge, of course, is that most farmers don't have that kind of money anyway. But we want to encourage farmers to save the spoils from one or two animals so they can then buy the stock feed to save the remainder of the animals. We rather dispose of what we have now so that we can save the two or three or four that remain.
You are talking about the bad crop situation. So what is going to happen, Mr. Ndlovu?
We have no option but to import grain and feed the people. Currently, that's the only direction that we should take.
Are there any NGOs that are actually helping the needy in rural areas?
Yeah, I know one or two that already are out trying to register people for food aid. This is not south, of course, but I'm not sure about what is happening elsewhere in the country. We will set off with what we call very vulnerable people and then later on increase the numbers as they go on. But my opinion is that everybody currently is actually vulnerable and everyone needs food. That's the fact, that's the situation on the ground, and we simply have to go in and provide food.
Mr. Ndlovu, you are a development expert and you say that there are some countries which are almost deserts, but they are managing to feed themselves. How did they do it and what can Zimbabwe learn out of some of these experiences, like in Israel?
It's a pity that we have not made anything in the past 30 or so years. We have the potential to produce a lot of food, given our rivers and even the dams that we currently have. Some of these dams are actually underutilized. That is what we see on the ground. I would rather say, I'm sure our challenge is that of planning. We don't have the foresight. Maybe it's an issue of attitude on the part of the planners and the part of those that should service the community. Because we do have the potential.
That was Everson Ndlovu, a development expert, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 Monitor Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is deeply alarmed by reports, including those from the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights and the African Commission on Human and People's Rights, of serious human rights violations and abuses in Burundi, including eyewitness reports of mass graves, a sharp increase in alleged enforced disappearances and torture, and reports of sexual violence by security forces. U.S. State Department Deputy Spokesperson Mark Toner said these and other reports further underscore the urgent need for the government of Burundi to allow for the immediate full deployment and unimpeded access of African Union human rights observers to investigate these allegations. It is imperative that the government of Burundi remove all bureaucratic and practical roadblocks it has used to prevent the AU human rights and military observers from fulfilling their mandate for the past 6 months to investigate reports of violence committed by any side in the conflict. The United States, said Mr. Toner, calls upon the government of Burundi to permit an immediate, impartial investigation into these recent allegations and to hold accountable all those found responsible for crimes. The United States remains concerned about Burundi's ongoing political and humanitarian crisis and the resulting suffering it has brought to the people of Burundi. We once again call on all parties to reject unlawful violence and reiterate that the only way to resolve the crisis gripping the country is for all parties to agree promptly to engage in internationally mediated, inclusive dialogue without preconditions.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we are gladly joined by Mrs. Junia Mavu, the head of the Cancer Association of Zimbabwe. Mrs. Mavu will be telling us about some of the work her organization does as the world prepares to commemorate World Cancer Day on February the 4th next week. World Cancer Day will be running under the theme Not Beyond Us. Mrs. Mavu, tell us a little bit about the Cancer Association of Zimbabwe. What is your role?
It's a non-profit making organization that was started in 1961. We are about 54 years old in its existence. We normally support clients after a cancer diagnosis. They are either referred to us by the doctors, their family, or people just hear from us from radios or papers, and then they'll come to our offices. We also do a lot of public cancer awareness programs where we educate the public about cancer, what to look for, where to go when you've got problems, and a number of other activities that we do.
Next week, you will be looking at the World Cancer Day on February the 4th. What do you have lined up?
We are combining with the Ministry of Health, same as last year, where all the other stakeholders in the ministry will come together to commemorate this day. And this year, we have chosen Mutare to be the way we are going to commemorate World Cancer Day.
Are you going to be having live screenings at these commemorations?
We are not going to be screening people on this day. But what we are going to do is just to make them aware that cancer is there. Cancer can affect anybody, young, old, green, blue, white, black. They are all affected by cancer. So it's just an awareness to make the public aware that cancer is there and they need to take precautions and look after themselves, look after their families, things like that. Sometimes we also have people who have suffered from cancer and they've been treated and are living well. And sometimes they come and give their testimonies also.
What are some of these precautions that people can take to prevent or to at least avoid getting cancer?
I think the major one is our lifestyle, the way we eat, the way we live, because most of these cancers that we come across, most of them are due to what we do as individuals, the type of food that we eat, the type of lifestyle that we eat. So if I'm a smoker, if I'm a drinker, those things predispose me to cancer.
When it comes to diet, what kind of diet would you encourage people to eat?
I think the natural one. No, if we take, for example, I grew up in the rural areas, and that type of diet that we ate, you know, beans and the saza, vegetable and saza, you know, that kind of, you know, where we ate natural things, ground nuts, sweet potatoes, you know, fruits from the wild, from like wild fruits, you know, all those things, and less processed food. These days we are eating a lot of processed food, fast foods, which are detrimental to our health.
And what is your last word as the Cancer Association to those that may be listening right now?
People need to get themselves checked up, maybe every year, where you go to your clinic or your general practitioner and have a full physical examination, because this is where some of these things are picked up. Or you can visit the nearest clinic and ask about the cancer services that they are offering so that at least you are checked before you actually get sick. Prevention is better than curing. So I'm encouraging them to visit their nearest health centers and have themselves checked. You can also visit us at the Cancer Association. Our address is 60 Livingston Avenue, Harare, and our number is 707-444-707-444, and then they can ask whatever questions they have.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Mrs. Junia Mavu, the head of the Cancer Association of Zimbabwe, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Welcome.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Don't forget to join me next week when we'll be looking at other issues affecting women.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you're going to have a wonderful weekend. And finally, in sports news, Chicken In Football Club chairman Lifan Ngube says Preparations for the African Champions League safari are now in top gear. We'll give you more details on Monday. Meanwhile, the late Moto Action Football Club boss Eric Rosen was laid to rest yesterday. Our reporter Michael Kariati has more details.
Hundreds of Zimbabwean football fans, friends and family members bade farewell to Rosen, who did a lot in trying to uplift the standards of soccer in the country, as well as the livelihoods of footballers. Former Premier Soccer League boss Chris Sambo, who worked with Rosen both as PSL chief executive and later at Motor Action, said Rosen was a man who knew his football.
Rosen was one of the most knowledgeable administrator that I ever worked with. He knew his FIFA statutes from cover to cover.
Rosen was Motor Action's sole financier between 1999 and 2013, leading them to the league title in 2010 and the Net One Cup in 2009. In 2005, Motor Action won the Independence Trophy. Widely regarded as Rosen's right-hand man, Simeon Jamanda said the late Motor Action boss has left a legacy, adding that such football administrators are hard to come by.
Such administrators, I don't think we'll ever find them. And when we talk of legacy, that's a man that left a legacy that we all cherish, that we all see, and that we all aim.
Rosen is survived by his wife Lizzie, three children, and four grandchildren. Still in soccer news, Zimbabwe's Warriors are back in the country after an unsuccessful 1 week at the 2016 African Nations Championships, but nobody took notice of their return. Their arrival was barely noticed after a disappointing show at the Nations Championships, where they finished bottom of the table with only 1 point after three games. Football follower Patrick Mombeshura said there was no need to go to the airport as the Warriors had disappointed the nation.
People were very disappointed by the way these Warriors played against other teams in their group.
Now to cricket. The Zimbabwe under-19 side got off to a perfect start at the ongoing World Cup in Bangladesh after a 7-wicket win over Fiji. Wesley Matebere took 5 wickets, while Blessing Mavuta claimed 3 wickets as Fiji was dismissed for a paltry score in 27.4 overs. Zimbabwe will next play group leaders England on Sunday. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Mali coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap today's top stories. Former Vice President Joyce Mchuru's proposed party, People First, says it is finalizing its constitution before launching the party. Drought continues to cause havoc in Zimbabwe's rural areas. And Chicken Inn Football Club are almost ready for the CAF Africa Champions League safari. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gandhi. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.